let me now turn over to our guest of honor today. And he seems to be able to make it about once a month. I'd like to have him on more often. And that is Mr. Barry Duvall. He is the president of the Virginia Chamber of Commerce. And Barry, welcome back to the show.
Bill, thanks for having me back. I hope you are doing well. I'm happy to be here to represent Virginia business.
Well, and you guys are doing a good job of that, and I enjoy working with you. So let me start off. We've got some things that we'd like to cover. I know some things you'd like to talk about. So we can't assume that everybody has heard you every time, because that's just the nature of radio. So for the people who are not familiar with the Virginia Chamber, can you tell us a little bit about what it does and your role in the Commonwealth?
Happy to do that, and hello to all your listeners. The Virginia Chamber is the voice of business for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Most people are familiar with their local Chamber of Commerce that supports local business. The Virginia Chamber supports all business in the Commonwealth and speaks on behalf of those businesses to people in elected office at the state and national level. Bill, as you know, there are about 270,000 businesses in Virginia, and the state chamber has a membership of 26,000. So we are the largest business membership organization in the state. Our goal is to make Virginia the best state for business, and so we advocate for principles and policies and legislation that will make Virginia the best place to start a business and to work, to grow a business. And we're celebrating our 95th year this year. So it's exciting time for us to celebrate 95 years of representing local chambers and representing business across the Commonwealth.
Yeah, and going with that, I know in the last interview we did, I think that was in September, you had mentioned that the chamber put together a sort of a roadmap for Virginia. Can you tell me more about that?
We can. We worked with local chambers over a 12-month period and put together something called Blueprint Virginia 2025. We traveled around the state, met with over 6,000 businesses in a community forum setting, had them vote on their priorities, and the business plan focuses on improving workforce and education, transportation, healthcare, energy, technology, manufacturing, and protecting the environment, along with making Virginia the number one state for our military veterans and their families. So this blueprint has helped provide a path forward to improve the state's competitiveness in every area. It's been very well received by the governor's office, members of the General Assembly. It's been very well received and known by members who represent us in Washington.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's really helped the local chambers, because they don't have the resources that you have to kind of pull all this together. And I think that's part of why CNBC said that right now, currently, Virginia is one of the best states in the U.S., if not the best state for business.
I think the headline actually read, Amazon got it right. Virginia's the top state for business. It was an exciting headline that came out in the summer of 2019, and we had been listed as the top state for business back in 2011. We had lost that accolade, but it is an exciting time to be able to reclaim being the best state for business. Forbes has also listed us in the past as the best state for business. In 2009 was our 13, actually, for Forbes was our last ranking, and we're hoping to get back up to the top with Forbes. But that's allows everybody to prosper. And I will say this is a great time. Virginia's unemployment rate is the lowest it's been since 2001. Right now we have 2.7% unemployment and more Virginians working than ever before in the history of our Commonwealth, with about almost 4.5 million Virginians working. So every region isn't growing at the same rate, Bill, but every region is beginning to see positive growth in the right direction.
Okay, now we're going to pick up on that right now. I just got my cue that Lou Dobbs is back from his smoke break, and he's going to be talking about the state of business in the United States today. So you're listening to 92.7 FM, 820 AM, not your father's talk station, better known as WNTW, live Tuesday from Chester, Virginia. And we're back. This is 92.7 FM, 820 AM, not your father's talk station, better known as WNTW, live on a Tuesday afternoon at 319 from Chester, Virginia. On the phone with me is Barry Duvall, who is the president of the Virginia Chamber of Commerce. And Barry, before we drill down on this CNBC ranking, how did last month, you guys really did something super, and that was for veterans and spouses, the hiring event on the 26th in September. How'd that go?
fantastic event. We recognized businesses from across the Commonwealth that pledged to hire veterans. We had over 600 people attend, gave out awards to companies that signed the pledge to hire veterans. They are known as Virginia Values Veterans Businesses. And this is an important part of the Commonwealth's economic development workforce strategy, which is to support our military and veterans while they're in the service and also to support them when they're rotating out. Through our Hire Vets Now initiative, we've had a number of companies sign up to support veterans as they are leaving the service and to support their spouses while they're in the service. Virginia's goal is to, and our chamber's goal, is to be the number one state for military and military families. So connecting veterans and their spouses to jobs was the theme, and it was very well received. And we want to thank all those employers that listen and support you for supporting our veteran community.
And we appreciate that because, you know, we've got, we do Patriot Thursday, and that's basically for veterans, not entirely. We also honor law enforcement, firefighters, et cetera. But we've been doing a lot of that, and I heard really good things. Mark Casper from Tech for Troops was there, as well as Sean Edmondson from the Virginia Employment Commission. So anyway, I want you guys to get a little kudos on that because that was a great event, and it's the type of thing we need to be doing for the veteran community.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So now let's get into this other great piece of news, and that is, what did Virginia do so well to get the recognition as the best place for business from CNBC?
So Virginia has done what is most important to all of its citizens, and that is invest in education and workforce training. The business economy today, Bill, is a war for talent, and talent is driving business growth. And our K through 12, our community colleges, our public sector university schools, our for-profit educational schools, and private universities are working together to produce one of the best workforces in the nation. And that's why we were able to win the Amazon new corporate headquarters announcement. That's why we have seen announcements like Micron of over $3 billion in expansion. And it's part of our blueprint to support workforce and education and to build a strong foundation from early childhood all the way through workforce training initiatives. So this has been part of our blueprint objectives, is to invest in education, workforce, and talent supply. And the result is that companies are expanding here, companies are locating here, and that's the secret to us as CNBC. In fact, the sub ratings within the CNBC ranking had number one for workforce and number one for education. That's why we became CNBC's top state for talent and business.
And I can understand that, and also is that since we have the most military personnel here of any state in the United States, those veterans, whether retiring or leaving service, also adds that workforce because they're almost without exception, they're incredibly skilled and they're dedicated workers.
100%. The veterans community is absolutely a key component of our workforce talent supply. The event you mentioned in September, which we partnered with the Department of Veterans Services, and I want to give a shout out to the Department of Veterans Services, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, the Commissioner, their office. We have a great partnership through our 501c3 private chamber foundation that works on the Hire Vets Now initiative. They are a critical component. And the other aspect of veterans is they often have that federal clearance process that's so valuable today that allow our businesses that work in the defense industry to hire them immediately and put them in the stream of employment to help with federal contracts that require those federal clearances. So they bring tremendous ethics, values, talent, and the technology along with the federal clearance. So it all works together to make Virginia the best state for business.
So now let's, you know, we've got this, you know, crazy event coming up in a week or two here called an election. What role does the state chamber play in all of this? Do you provide endorsements? And if not, what are you doing to support legislators and candidates who are good for the business community?
That's a great question. There's a national chamber that endorses congressional candidates, and some local chambers endorse candidates at the local level. The state chamber endorses ideas. We don't endorse candidates. We do put those ideas forward in our Blueprint Virginia. But we do also highlight candidates that, in fact, vote for business principals. So we give them a free enterprise award at our annual dinner. And I'm pleased to say over 40 members of the General Assembly, Republicans and Democrats, have received free enterprise awards each year from the chamber. But something we're doing this year, and if your listeners have an interest in where candidates stand on the issues, we'd like for them to go to our website at vaelectioncenter.com. vaelectioncenter.com. We have had over 150 candidates fill out an electronic questionnaire on where they stand on five key issues. And those issues are ones that matter to them each and every day. And they can actually listen to approximately 36 candidates that we've interviewed that are answering five questions in 5 minutes. So the Election Center is a service we provide to all businesses in Virginia, especially local chambers of commerce. And those five questions focus on workforce, focus on business climate, healthcare, infrastructure, transportation. And so these are key areas that are important to your listeners. So we also add a regional specific question. And that regional specific question would be related to your listeners in the Chesterfield. And that's provided by the local chamber. So the local chamber says, please ask about this. It might be a local transportation or a land use issue. But this is a new initiative that we are partnering with local chambers throughout the Commonwealth, and your listeners can go to vaelectioncenter.com and hear the results of those who are running for office. They look into a camera, it's professionally produced, and they answer in 5 minutes, five questions around those topics.
Okay. We've got about 2.5 minutes before the break at the bottom of the hour. Let's at least get into the Election Center. Could you talk a little bit more about what it does?
It is a profile of each candidate running for office. So I would just share with you that we focus on these key competitive issues. And one of the things that we're doing is demonstrating that elections do make a difference. So as we begin to talk more about the Election Center, I will tell you that there's never been a time where your listeners could see more of a distinct difference between candidates than this year. And we'll hopefully have a chance to talk a little more about what that distinction is and how they differ on some key issues that impact Virginia's competitiveness.
Okay, and yeah, we'll come back to that. Barry, by the way, I called you DeWall rather than DeWall because I served in the Coast Guard with a guy named DeWall for a long time. And every time I talk to you, I'm thinking of this other guy.
That's fine. DeWalls of Virginia have been here since 1701, but thank you for thanks for thinking of me. I'm sure he was a great guy. I hope he was. But I look forward to having a deeper dive on some of the issues that we're discovering through interviewing candidates for office.
Okay. And so would you close out the section on the Election Center, and what are some of the business takeaways?
I think it's important to know that there are two big issues that we're discovering through interviewing. I think there's a bipartisan support to lower health care premiums for small business especially. And through supporting association health plans, which were passed by the House and the Senate last year but vetoed by the governor, we think we can get it passed again this year, and we're hopeful the governor will approve it this year, and it will provide about a 20% discount on insurance costs by allowing local businesses to pool together in order to have one large group insurance plan. So that's universally 90% supported by Republicans and Democrats. On the other hand, we're very concerned about the polling results on the right-to-work law, which since 1947, Virginia has been a state that is known as a right-to-work state. And since 1947, businesses have expanded here, employees join their employers' work, and businesses relocate here without those individual employees being forced to join a union to work there or pay some fee to work where there is a union. This is an important cornerstone of economic development and a cornerstone of national business rankings. We have seen in the candidate questionnaire results, 42% of the candidates that participated in our survey said they would repeal the right-to-work law and therefore make it mandatory for an employee to join the union or pay a fee. That would shake the foundation of Virginia business climate if that were to be true.
Barry, do you think this is a by the candidate now, a well-considered position? In other words, they understand the ramification? Or do you think that this is something that has not been thought through in terms of what does it mean? Because, for example, our CNBC ranking will probably go away.
I think it's a lack of understanding of the impact. And people who do care about workers' rights, as we care about worker rights, believe this is the only path to ensure that workers have an opportunity to participate and make their voice known. But this is a path that will lead to a significant impact on our business climate rankings, and we as a state will be removed from the list of places that are considered for major expansions and relocations. What's most fascinating, and I think our education campaign will help people understand the benefits of having the right to work, or the right to join or not join, where there is a labor union. I think once they understand, they will realize that is why Kentucky, West Virginia, and Wisconsin have all just voted to become states that have right-to-work laws. So now 27 states have right-to-work laws, and those states want to be like Virginia. So it would be very unusual for a state to go in the other direction. And we're hopeful that these candidates, we will have an opportunity to educate those elected and have an opportunity to demonstrate to them that having the right-to-work law is a foundation that helps us and allows this Commonwealth to be competitive.
Because the cost of that has got to be in the billions of dollars.
We actually hired an independent economic firm to analyze the impact of losing right-to-work, and your instincts are correct, Bill. It would cost Virginia approximately, in our economy, about $1 billion a year annually if right-to-work did not exist in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And many of the major ranking institutions, I mentioned CNBC, but also Forbes, and we've determined small business and entrepreneurship rankings would also go down if we didn't have this on the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So we think worker protection is important, but we don't think Virginia workers should be forced to join a union or pay a non-membership fee in order to be hired or keep their existing job. We've enjoyed the benefits of having this since 1947, so I don't know that all of our citizens and employees realize they have that benefit, but it is certainly one that we enjoy. And over 99% of Virginia business is small business, and I was just at an event this morning in Fredericksburg where small business owners expressed a serious concern about losing this right to work. If it was repealed, it would impact small businesses significantly.
Yes, I was also thinking about minimum wage. Did you sample the different candidates for state or local office concerning their position? I guess we'll say the $15 minimum wage seems to be what the rage is right now.
We actually did an analysis on minimum wage, and we recognized that the minimum wage is set by the federal government, and it has been so for a long time. There was a proposal to move the minimum wage over to $15 an hour, which would more than double the wage in Virginia by 2021. The economic estimate is that it would increase employer statewide payroll costs by $4 billion annually. And of course, what we're hearing from small businesses, if rather than employing people for $7.25 or $8 or $10, if they had to pay $15, they would have fewer workers. They couldn't carry the same number of workers, Bill, because their payroll costs would be so high. Again, this is a federal issue. Virginia has traditionally followed the federal guidelines, but we do have to defeat bills. And so far, we've had a governing majority that realizes doubling the minimum wage would not help, but hurt small business and hurt those people who are making less than the living wage, if you will, because not all jobs are designed to support a family full time. There are entry-level jobs that allow people to get into the stream of commerce and also work part-time. And so we are aware that is an area for discussion, and we are monitoring it as well.
Okay. Any closing thoughts that you have, as well as how do people contact you? And my program director had said that we ought to bring you on as a ongoing guest or host here at the show.
It's flattering for you to say that. We would be happy to continue our conversations with you on a regular basis. Your listeners are impacted every day by the issues the Virginia Chamber works on and their local Chamber of Commerce. Each of your listeners, as they work in the community, want their businesses to succeed. But we want them to contact their legislator on lowering health care costs for small businesses, supporting association health plans. Contact their local legislator and say right-to-work laws are good for Virginia, and please support the law that's been in place since 1947. If they want to contact us, they can go to our website, vachamber.com. We have all this information on right-to-work, minimum wage, and other initiatives. We would love for them to come on our website at vaelectioncenter.com and check out their legislator. They can literally click on anywhere in Virginia, the map of Virginia, and click on the location, and their legislator will come up with their response bill. We hope this is a public service that helps them be informed, and we hope more than anything they'll vote on Election Day.
Well, thank you, Barry. And I guess I could say our guest host, Barry Duvall, who is president of the Virginia Chamber of Commerce, thanks for being on the show and providing that information. And hopefully people will take this into account, use the Election Center to research the candidates and make smarter decisions about their economic future here in the state of Virginia. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Bye-bye.